I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order. Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
What's up, everyone? It's Noah Daniels, and we're here for another episode of the Real Hauntings podcast. This episode's a little different. We're going to be doing a mini series. This is our first episode in our mini series through October, just to kind of celebrate all things spooky. We want to bring back some of our favorite guests and see what they're up to and see why they love the spooky season so much. On this episode, we have Katie Boyle. You remember she is from Ireland and does comedy in New York City. She also has a podcast, The Shift Podcast. And you can find her on Instagram and TikTok at Katie Boyle Comic. I was about to say .com for some reason. That felt the direction to go. Katie, how are you doing? Thanks for coming on.
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So I see your star keeps burning brighter and brighter. How have things been going since we last talked?
Good. I can't even remember how long ago it was when we talked, like a year ago.
No,
I don't know.
Don't think so. I mean, my heart tells me it was like 4-ish months ago, maybe, but
I have no idea.
Obviously, it left a big impact.
Oh, but it's just like I feel like I did a lot of stuff. I don't know. It just feels like would have been in the pandemic. Well, I'm going to check. Well, no, we don't have time, but I wonder when it was. I think it was longer than 4 months ago.
I mean, you can check. We have all the, with editing, we have all the time in the world. But yeah, I don't. It feels like 4 months ago to me. It could have been longer.
You're probably right. June 11 is when you messaged me. So yeah, you're right.
Okay. Yeah.
June that was 11, 2018.
Yeah, in a past life maybe.
No, you're right. So yeah, so I guess only like 3 or 4 months ago.
Okay. So I'm curious, how has comedy been in New York? I know like here at my theater we're only letting vaccinated people in, and they have to be masked during the show, although that kind of is touch and go. A lot of people just take their mask off during the show because they're drinking or whatever. How has it been for you all?
Yeah, they don't have to wear a mask, but they have to be vaccinated. But everybody in New York, most people are vaccinated. So,
yeah, that's good. I mean, I wouldn't say most people in Georgia are vaccinated, but in the city, I think the majority of the people that are going out to comedy shows are anyway. We haven't had any backlash. We were a little uncertain, you know, just because you see all the crazy stuff where people get pissed off about having to be vaccinated. But so far, so good. Are you guys, does it seem like people are comfortable going out again and stuff?
Yeah. I mean, they were comfortable pretty much during all of it. Like people seem comfortable.
And have you been doing like pandemic comedy? Do you have like a bunch of bits based around the pandemic, or are you kind of staying away from that?
Yeah, no, I don't have anything based on that because that's not like, you know, I just don't find it really interesting. So I just don't really care. Yeah, I don't care about the vaccine. I don't like, I like, of course would hope that everybody gets it so that you're better, but I don't have any strong opinions on any of that stuff. The pandemic is grand, it is what it is, and just kind of get on with it. Like people moan a lot and you're like, shut the fuck up, like it is what it is, just keep going, get on with it.
Is that a very Irish attitude towards the pandemic, do you feel like, or is that just a Katie attitude towards the pandemic?
Maybe Katie, maybe that's probably an Irish attitude in general, like kind of get on with things, which can be good and bad sometimes. Maybe there's stuff you should address, but Ireland was worse for the pandemic. Like we was in a way, we didn't have like more cases or anything. It's just a much bigger lockdown. They were like, what they went through in Ireland is like a sociology experiment for how long people could be locked inside without going crazy. So when Americans are moaning, I'm like, shut up. Like seriously, they're like, my rights. I'm like, come on, get out of here.
Well, I know Australia is still in like a pretty serious lockdown, you know, yeah. So it's, everybody's certainly going through it, I guess, in their own way. Well, we're not here to talk about the lockdown and vaccine. That's just a little day in the life, I guess. So I know when you were on, we talked about kind of lore in Ireland, and I know you talked about some personal haunting stuff that happened there as well, but we really covered the gamut of fairies to trees to everything that's haunted. But growing up, did you have an affinity for Halloween? Like in Ireland, is it a celebrated thing?
Of course. Sure, originated.
What do you mean?
Where Halloween comes from originated in Celtic culture. So I believe it was originally in Ireland. Like, I know it's all now, I can't think of the right word, but I'm sure you know the word that I'm trying to say. Like, it's all like, I can't think of the right words. What do we live in now where you buy things, sell it, capitalized?
Capitalism?
Yeah, well, you know, because it's the same way like, you know, the...
Commercialized,
but like, yeah. It's basically like our Day of the Dead type of thing. So... it was a ritual holiday. It was really important part of the culture long, long time ago when there was druids and stuff like that. So, but I love Halloween. Halloween's great. Irish people love Halloween. There's always big bonfires, which I think is like bad for the environment now. But that was big when I was growing up. You'd go to the bonfire, you'd trick or treat, Halloween decorations. I actually was just telling my boyfriend that we would put peanuts, you know, like, the fully peanuts before you break them open, and they're you'd put them around as decorations. And he was like, out of all the stuff you told me about your culture, that's fucking weird.
That's just odd.
So I guess you guys don't do that.
Well, so did you go to university in Ireland?
Yeah.
Okay. Is it, so, you know, in America, like it's obviously a big party on Halloween. Everybody gets dressed up and like parties extra hard on that night. Is it kind of the same vibe in Ireland?
Yeah, but not just in university, like even for young, like teenagers, they would go out and throw fireworks at each other and everybody's drinking. It's a big celebration. Yeah.
Well, that's true. And because you're drinking, or the drinking age there is what, like 18?
Yeah. But people start drinking at like 14, 15, 16.
Yeah. So it's not, that part of it isn't quite as like, you know.
But it's a big celebration. Yeah. And people would dress up. It's a bit of crack.
What was your, like growing up, was there a go-to costume that you wanted to wear all the time?
No, maybe like basic, like a cat or something, but never anything too.
Did you say like a cat?
Yeah, yeah, I don't think, but I did one year like paint a bunch of my friends' faces, like I, you know, like really detailed. So that was a lot of fun. One of the guys, I did him like Two-Face with like half his and all the teeth and stuff. When his face has half melted off, But also there's like a meal we have. It's like called Cúchulainn or something like that, or Cúchulainn or something. And I remember my grandmother would cook that only at Halloween. It was like a Halloween dish. And then we would watch Halloween movies all night. So that was a load of fun.
So in America, we like go and terrorize neighborhoods and like toilet paper trees and that kind of stuff. Did you all get into that kind of shenanigans?
No, nobody throws toilet paper at places. That's an American thing. But there would be people who are like not good people in society that would throw like bangers in people's letterboxes. So like, or if you had a cat, during Halloween, you always keep your cat inside because there's these like, I don't know what the right word for it other than like deranged hooligans would like blow up your cats.
What?
Yeah. And like a lot of old people would throw bangers. So they're like these little explosion thingies in their letterboxes and stuff. God. So your letterbox is your front door. So it'll let you go into your hall. Like crazy shit. So you always make sure your cat was inside. And because they're just mental. Little psychopaths.
That's insane. We definitely grew up doing like the toilet paper housing. We didn't like egg houses or cars or anything. But I do remember one night, I was probably like 13, 14, whatever the age is, where like your parents start to trust you to go out, you know, like you're okay, you're with a group of friends, you can go out and do whatever bullshit you're going to do. And we got chased by, as you might say, hooligans. For like 6 blocks, telling us they were going to kill us and they were throwing like fireworks. So, you know, they weren't blowing up cats, but they were trying to blow us up. And that was pretty, pretty horrifying. Definitely got the boo part of Halloween that night. Since you've been in America, is there anything like, do you go to haunted houses? Is there anything that you've kind of picked up over here that you have as part of your Halloween tradition?
No, but I want to go to a haunted house this year. I've been to haunted houses and I went to one in Amsterdam and it was great. I loved it. So I do want to go to one here. Just never got around to it. Halloween doesn't seem as fun here for whatever reason, but I guess back home, like if I were at home, you'd have the regular television and they usually show spooky movies and like it's a bit more like, you know, I don't know, it's a bit more spooky. So but I want to go, I'm going to go this year to a haunted house for sure. The one I went to in Amsterdam was great. It was like a lot of actors and there was one guy though who pretends to like rape you. So that was a bit weird. So I think that,
yeah,
I don't think that they do that anymore.
That's real 2021.
Yeah, that was like 10 years ago because all of the actors do different things trying to scare you.
Yeah.
And one of them, he pulled me back and he was like, so I'm going to pretend that I'm like, you know, raping you for the audience. I was like, that's just a bit weird.
That's really fucked up.
So yeah. But other than that, the whole haunted house was great. And then you go in at the very top, there's a roller coaster inside it and you go down that. So I love all those things. I love scary movies. I love that kind of adrenaline.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because we are still, you know, in a pandemic. So there may be a lot of people who still don't feel comfortable going out for Halloween and partying and whatnot. Are there some scary movies that you would recommend people see this Halloween?
Okay, well, we'll go from genres. Okay. Best zombie movie is 28 Days Later.
Yeah, agree.
Hands down. Yeah. So good. Because you get the fright, but like it's like exciting, especially that part where he's running around the house. You're like, Jesus, clean.
Oh, yeah. Great. I would say the next zombie movie for me after that is Shaun of the Dead. I don't know if you've seen that, but for different reasons, you know.
Shaun of the Dead's great.
Yeah.
And I love I Am Legend as well, but I think 28 Days Later is a bit more fun too.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just so well done too for a horror movie.
Train to Busan is great.
Yes. I just saw that, I think like a couple months ago for the first time. I finally got around watching it. Man, that hits all the elements. I mean, I think one of the things those movies struggle with is like, okay, they get the scary out, but there's no emotional attachment to the people that are happening. That movie, you definitely feel emotions. I don't want to give away any spoilers.
Same with 28 Days Later. Yeah,
100%. I think that's the key for those kind of movies.
Also, I guess people should watch classics more. So like old school, like I love also binging, like, and this is like just a fun, but like binging the Scream movies. So being like, okay, we're going to watch the four of these, whatever there is in a row. That's always a lot of fun.
I mean, I don't know. I'm guessing you're early 20s, right? Early to mid 20s.
No, I'm 30. I'll be 31 in
what?
2 weeks. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I guess it's the Irish that age as well, because I just assumed you were early 20s. Never mind. I was going to be like, how the fuck did you watch Get Into the Scream movies? But I guess that would have been just late enough to get you.
Well, I've also got my brothers into it. So we watch that sometimes and I go back. But that's a good kind of old, easy, fun.
Yeah. Throw it on. Yeah.
Yeah. What else is good?
Well, now, are there any movies that were filmed in Ireland that you would recommend for a good scare?
There is apparently one, but I didn't see it, so I don't know if it's good. I heard there's one, so I don't know about that, to be honest.
Okay, didn't mean to put you on the spot.
There's great movies filmed in Ireland, like Intermission, The Guard, Waking Ned Devine, The Snapper.
Commitment. What is The Snapper?
Oh, it's about a woman who gets pregnant.
Okay.
The Commitments, they're all great. And there's a lot of great comedies, but I don't know about horrors. What other genres is there? So we've done slasher, zombie.
What about like where you're trapped somewhere, like the cabin movie or something, you know? Yeah, I don't know those. Those, but.
Well, it's not a classic, but Creep 1 and Creep 2 was good. And that's kind
what
of
is
great
that?
Somewhere. That's Andy Dufresne. It's a bit mad. They're good. They got like 100% Rotten Tomatoes, and that's like you're trapped in a cabin and trapped in a house. And then I was going to say one there. Oh, a ghost one that I used to love as a kid, and it might be shite now, but I watched it a couple of times as a kid, was, remember Haunted House?
Yeah.
And like there was that part where it was like the wire flipped up from the violin and took her eye out, or from the piano or something. God, that we would watch that when we were kids, like as a scary movie to watch.
I was just saying, now what about like an unsuspecting horror movie, or not even a horror movie, but like a movie that you didn't think was gonna like scare you, but it's something that still bothers you today? Like for me, an example was E.T. when I was a kid and saw the first time, it like fucked me up, and I cannot watch it till this day.
It traumatized me. I couldn't look out the window at my grandma's house because it looked like the window in their house where E.T. is like roaming around inside. Yeah. That scared the shit out of me. Also, Vanilla Sky.
Really?
Psychological horror, like fucked up shit. Anything where that always fucking terrified me. So that stuck with me for years. That really
one of the last movies I saw with Penelope Cruz where I was like, this is a fucking great movie. I can't remember the last time I saw something with her in it, honestly.
What was the movie you saw that you thought was great?
Oh no, Vanilla Sky. That was like the last.
I hate it. I was 14. It traumatized me. That and a Black Swan. And then there's Orwell Stein books. I would read them growing up as a kid, and they're always like silly, spooky, and there's something when it's like about ghosts and stuff that you're like, whatever. But I read one of his books, and the whole theme of it was like mental illness. So like there's a kid like, and he's talking to a ghost, but then it turns out he just has like multiple personalities sort of. I was fucking 13, and I was like, oh my god, am I gonna have multiple personality disorder?
Really? No, you're just gonna be a comic.
That really scared me. That's real fear. That's real. Those type of things is like real, like you, because like ghosts and stuff, you're like, whatever. But yeah, so Cape, there was a movie, I think we talked about it on your podcast or talked about it with somebody else. It's based off a Stephen King book, but where there's a wolf man and he comes through a village and they have to sacrifice one kid or he kills all the kids.
Oh my god.
And I saw it when I was young. Again, I would stay up all night watching like stuff. Nobody was minding me. And it stuck with me forever, that movie. And another movie as well where there was like a ghost in a castle. It's from like a 1970s movie that I watched at 5 a.m. when I was 10. And they briefly show someone and she's like trapped in this torture sort of box thing, you know, those old Egyptian torture box things, like a coffin, and they stick nails in you and then you forget about her. And at the very end of the movie, when it's like zooming out and like there's music and credits, it just flicks back to her and she's still in the box and her eyes are moving back and forth and you're like, oh fuck, she's still alive.
Jesus. Now, did you grow up watching Are You Afraid of the Dark? Was that something that you all got?
Yeah. We also, did I say this on your podcast? We had Podge and Raj Nightmares Before Bedtime. Did I say that on your podcast?
I don't think so. What is that?
They were two puppets, Podge and Raj. They're Irish. They were in their bed, they have red hair, and they're really like, fuck this, fuck that, you know, type of like okay. Irish characters.
Yeah.
And then they tell nighttime, bedtimes, like horror stories. And it was fucked up. It was kind of like Twilight Zone shit. Like, oh. I remember when they were talking about some guy who like was convinced something was in his head. So he like screwed open his head. It was like crazy shit.
Is that something you can still find?
Yeah, you can just Google on YouTube, I'm sure.
Yeah, that sounds interesting. Yeah, Are You Afraid of the Dark? I think that's another one of those things that E.T. that kind of, I stayed away from horror genre till I was like mid-20s probably, and now I love it, but...
Love horror.
There was an episode of Are You Afraid of the Dark where I think like a girl was in a well and there was like a barn, and I just remember it really freaking me out as a kid, like learning that those were options in life. Maybe don't really exist, but it's like a, you know, 10, 12, 13 year old, you think anything can happen, right? So,
absolutely.
Well, what about new media? Is there, I mean, I know you're a busy comic. So, for our audience that isn't in the comedy scene, people like Katie are doing sets all the time. I mean, your life is on a stage with a mic in your hand. So, you may not have the most time to consume a ton of media, but is there anything new that has kind of caught your eye from the horror genre?
Oh, you mean like new movies?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have a lot of time to watch. I watch too much movies and TV, to be honest. I did watch that movie about the blind guy, the original one. So it's out in the cinema now, number 2, but I don't forget the name, but that was a really fucking scary.
Where they go into like try to steal stuff from his house and yeah.
That was good. My friend told me Candyman is shite, so it's disappointing.
Oh, really?
Okay. Oh, the VHS movies, they're great. Those horror movies.
Okay, so I have a funny story about that. So I got ordained to do a friend's wedding like pre-pandemic, so probably 2019. And so I'm doing the wedding or whatever, and I meet it was the bride that I knew. So I met her husband, obviously, and his brother was there. And we're talking, and he tells me, you know, he's an actor. So we're like kind of connecting the dots of who we know in Atlanta. And I keep looking at him and I'm like, this guy looks so familiar. And I was like, have you been in anything I would have seen? Because you look really familiar. He was like, oh yeah, I was in VHS. And I was like, okay. And he goes, yeah, you've probably seen more of me than you realize. And I was like, and then it hit me. I was like, were you in the scene with the vampire lady in the hotel? He was like, yeah, you've seen my dick.
I
was
oh my God.
That's like, okay.
Oh my God. That was that part.
Yeah.
Mental. But VHS is more like art than movie.
Those shorts. Yeah, I really enjoy those. I mean, I want to say, I can't remember if I've seen 3 of those, but I've definitely seen 2 iterations of VHS. But I think it hits a lot of notes. I mean, even just the way they introduce the short stories, like in that first one being on VHS, you know, I mean, it kind of reminds me of The Ring a little bit.
Yes.
When there's like significance and, you know, or magic built around, or I guess a curse is what those really were, right?
Absolutely.
But yeah, that's a good call. VHS is great. I know it used to be on Netflix. I'm sure you can find it on Amazon or somewhere. There's so many streaming services now, but
Hush is a good one on Netflix as well.
What is it?
Hush, the deaf girl.
What is that one about?
A guy tries to rob a deaf girl.
Okay.
It's just like spooky.
Sold. Yeah,
like the opposite of the blind guy one.
Yeah. It's a reverse. Does she know like martial arts or anything, or is she just...
No, but I think she's just like fights back basically.
Okay, good, that's great.
Yeah.
Now if you have to go super super old school, is there one movie you would recommend? Like, did you ever watch like Children of the Corn or anything like that?
Oh yeah, I watched all of those. I watched Children of the Corn. Damien. Damien was one I watched a lot. The Exorcist.
Yeah.
That was great. Poltergeist. Yeah.
What do you like better, Poltergeist or The Exorcist?
I can't remember. Probably The Exorcist, but I can't really remember. I watched him as a kid. Like, I watched Damien every Christmas, like a little psycho.
Were you a latchkey kid? Like, do you know what that means?
No.
So like latchkey kid is when somebody literally, like a kid, has a key to get into their home and nobody's like keeping up with them, like you kind of just run your own life as a kid.
Oh yeah, my mother had mental health problems, so she was just like in bed crying the whole time. She's not doing well, and she was just like she wasn't a fit parent, but it was fine. I do remember one time watching a spooky movie and someone trying to break into the house and like looking up and seeing them trying to use a shovel to break in, but like the way the curtains were, they couldn't see me but I could see them. It was like blinds, so I just kind of rolled out. I was in my grandmother's house and I was like, we're being robbed.
Wait, so you were watching a movie where that was happening and then it happened in real life?
No, I was just watching a movie, but I'm pretty sure I was probably watching like a spooky movie because I was a bit obsessed with those. Or maybe just a regular movie, but I do remember like being on the ground watching it. Like, you know, the way kids would like lie on the floor and look up. And I looked up so I could see through the blinds and there was a guy with a shovel. And my mother was sitting on the couch watching the TV and I was like, do you see that? And she was like, just roll out and go get your grandmother. So she just stayed there because like she didn't want to move. So I rolled out and I was probably like 10 at the time, went and got my grandmother. My grandmother called the police and the police came. But when they came in the back garden, this robber guy, so he had the shovel trying to open the window, but he'd taken the stuff out of my grandmother's shed. He had like a big scissors thing. What are they called? Like pliers. So he was going to like kill whoever the fuck. He knew like there was no reason for him to take out the big scissors thing.
Right.
Yeah. So yikes. We were lucky. Yeah.
That's really scary. Yeah. Well, so I'm curious, you are a comedian. You know, there's always this frame of thought that a lot of comedians grow up with an interesting childhood, we'll say, you know, like we all have baggage or whatever. Do you think the fact that you could watch whatever you wanted to at a young age and you kind of ruled your own life and maybe had to grow up a little sooner, do you think that all impacted like who you are as a comedian or the fact that you went into comedy?
Yeah. I don't think I would have ever done comedy if I'd had a normal childhood for sure. And I'm sure most people don't have normal childhoods, but there's different degrees. Mine definitely was fecked up for sure. But I wouldn't be doing comedy. No. I'd probably just like have met someone, had normal life, had normal relationships, had kids. I don't think so. I don't think I would have moved to America because I cut out my mother when I was 18 because she was like emotionally and abusive. She was, you know, it was every day was horrific. And it was a lot of like stuff like that armies would do to their, you know, where you're like, oh, that was my childhood. Right. So cutting her out set me on the path that like I ended up dating a guy who was kind of abusive, which is usually what happens, you know, people usually date what they know. And then when I finally broke up with him, he was really annoying for a whole year, like trying to get me back and stuff. And so I ended up moving to America because she had never ever said like, let's talk about what happened. Why are you leaving? Even though I was 18, like, and most children will leave at 18, but like, this was like a huge drama, a huge insult.
Right.
And I got a job at a different place and she started like sleeping with the owner, but we weren't talking. So at this stage, it's like 6 years out. I'm still not talking to her. I'd just broken up with a boyfriend and he was pretty pissed off about that. She's like fucking the owner of this hotel for no reason. Like, she doesn't need to be. Plenty of other. It was all just like psychological shit. You know, she enjoys this. And so I just bought the ticket to America and came to America. And then I started comedy over here. I saw a girl doing it and I was like, that's so funny. I want to do this. People say I'm funny. And then I tried it and I was like, this is fun. It's going to be a lot more work than I thought, but I'm going to do it.
Well, now a lot of the comedy I see you do that pops up like on my social media, or if I go through your TikTok, it seems like it's a lot of like relationship humor or observations. Do you ever delve into your past and do that kind of, I don't know what you call that humor, but you know, where you kind of take people through your life and compare.
Yeah. I definitely have jokes about my family and like my mother and stuff. I don't really put that. I've put one recently on TikTok and Instagram just because it's my favorite one. But for the most part, I don't really put those ones up because, well, A, I'd like them to be an album. B, when they're fully fleshed out, there's some, you know, that involve my dad as well. So I'd like to run it by him before it goes up on any platform. But yeah, I do talk about it and it's just like it's a little darker, but And like, I would have wanted to talk about it when I started comedy, but it just takes a really long time to be able to feel comfortable with that and make it funny.
And I feel like when you figure out how to turn that into comedy, it's like a lot of gold in there. You know what I mean? Like, cause it's so true. It comes from such original. a true place. I feel the same way about, I mean, I didn't have the same childhood by any means, but I do feel like having to grow up, having to be in an adult situations from such a young age definitely put me on a path of kind of chasing a childhood throughout the rest of my life, which I think is what draws me into comedy and kind of entertainment and that kind of stuff. Well, you know, I can't resist not interviewing somebody when they actually come on the podcast. So thank you for letting me delve into the psychological there for a little bit. But before we get you out of here, if you had to recommend one thing that everybody should absolutely do on or before Halloween to celebrate Halloween, what would that thing be?
I think having a movie binge and make like Halloween. So get your treats, I love the Halloween dish. I don't know how to pronounce it, and it's my own country, but it's like called Cullen or something like that. But like make like spooky food and treats and like hot chocolate and have a movie night. I think that's the best.
Hot take, candy corn, yes or no?
Oh, I don't know what that is.
Candy corn? You don't know what candy corn is?
I don't know, you're just saying two words. I know candy and I know corn. I know what candy corn is.
It's like the triangle candy, and it's like a white, yellow, and red kind of coloring.
Candy is what sounds like pedophiles give kids to get them into vans. We don't say candy in Ireland, we say sweets. Candy sounds like perversive. And I don't like your sweets over here because it's all full of fructose corn syrup shite. It gives me spots. Look at this. I have one chocolate bar breakout. But
we'll put that down as a no for candy corn.
Yeah, no.
And with that, I'm Noah Daniels.
I'm Katie Boyle. Katie Boyle comic. Go look at my new joke about my childhood.
And make sure you check out Katie on all her social media at Katie Boyle Comic on Instagram and TikTok. She's got a lot of awesome stuff going on. And this has been our first mini episode. Let us know what you think. We're going to be rolling more of these out throughout October. And Katie, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Every 5 minutes, a transplant candidate dies while waiting for a compatible heart, liver, or kidney. Imagine a technology that could provide those life-saving transplant organs for a high price, and imagine what a company would do to monopolize that technology. On a remote island in Lake Superior, a team of geneticists unlocks this holy grail of medicine by reverse engineering the genomes of all mammals, creating an animal with organs perfectly suitable for human transplantation. They envisioned a docile herd animal, but one team member had another, darker vision. This ancestor is anything but docile. The team's work spawns something big, something evil, something very, very hungry. Ancestor is a complete serialized fiction podcast by number one New York Times bestselling novelist Scott Sigler, with all episodes available. Binge the entire story now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.